Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing in the name of Jesus. We are rejoicing today because you have given us abundant life. You woke us up this morning. You have given us abundant life, strength, health. Oh, God, everything that we need, you have given it to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we just praise your name. We honor you today. We thank you that you are the King of glory. There's no God greater, no God holier, no God like you, Jehovah. Oh, you are mighty. You are holy. You are righteous. You are the King of kings. There's nobody like you. None can compare to how great you are. You are magnificent, God. You are all powerful. You're all-knowing. You said you know our thoughts are far off, and your thoughts of us are more than the grains of sand. So, Father, today, on this great day, March the 30th, 2022, we come to give you glory. We come to give you praise. We come to give you honor. Oh, God, we come to call on your mighty name, your holy name. You are Lord. You are King. You are Abba in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. We say hallelujah to the King of Kings, to the Almighty Father. Nothing is impossible to you. We lift up every city, every state in our nation. We cover our nation, our cities, our states with the blood of Jesus. Father, we ask you to forgive us for abominations, for sins, for errors in our nation, oh God. Heal our land. We're your people. Call by your name. We're humbling ourselves. Oh, God, upon your mighty hand, we're turning from our wicked ways. Oh, God, we're asking you to heal our land of the viruses that have come on plaguing the land. We ask you to heal our land, oh, God, of the murders, the violent crimes, the hideous crimes. Heal our land where our babies have been aborted, oh, God. Heal our land. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, as your people who are called by your name. When we allow all of these different things to take place, you said that we, oh God, should take authority over these things in the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank you today for what you're doing, what you're going to do in all of us. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you thanksgiving today. You're almighty. Nothing is impossible to you. We honor your presence today. We say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, even as it's almost the last day of this month, we give you praise for January, February, and March. Oh, God, about ready to close out according to your will and your plan. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on America. And, Lord, we lift up Ukraine, who's being attacked right now. And then, I'm sorry, did someone say something to me? Who's being attacked right now in Jesus' name. Oh, God, stop the attacks against the innocent people. Oh, God, you knew about this war before the foundations of the earth. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus for all that you're doing. All that you're going to do, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, of being able to call upon your mighty name, your holy name. Oh, Lord, we ask you to stop the attacks of the babies, the children, their mamas, their daddies. Hide them under the shadow of your almighty wings in the Ukraine. Hide them from the enemy who's trying to come in. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, who's trying to come into that country, who has invaded Ukraine. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, like a roaring lion, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I thank you, oh, God, for covering that nation with the blood of Jesus. Oh, yeah, we cover them with the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are thanking you today for what you're doing, what you're going to do, what you've done already. We give you praise. We give you thanks today because, Lord, we know, oh, God, that we can pray. And you said the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. So, Father, we don't want our prayers to be in vain. Hear our prayers. Answer our prayers. Come speedily on behalf of Ukraine. Oh, God, we cover that nation with the blood of Jesus, that powerful blood that you shed on Calvary's cross where they beat you unmercifully. Forgive us every time we crucified you afresh. In the name of Jesus, remember the people in Ukraine. Oh, God, when the Russians come, hide them. Be their refuge. Hide them under the shadow of your almighty wings. Stop the attacks, the hideous crimes, where they're murdering babies, they're murdering children. Oh, God, trying to take that nation under their control. But, Lord, you're ruler of that nation in Ukraine. You're ruler of every nation, Asia, Africa. You're ruler of every country, every continent. You're the ruler in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for protecting them from seen and unseen dangers. Let their prayers be heard as they cry out before you. Draw them closer to you. Let them know, oh, God, that you are the Most High God, and they can come to you, oh, God, and you are their refuge. Protect them from the enemy that's right on them. Hide them in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving. Good afternoon. Welcome to Wednesday Midweek Bible Study. We're grateful that you joined us today. We thank God for each of you coming on with us. We are so grateful that the Most High God, that the one who created us, is on our side. So let's do what he commanded us to do. He said the first commandment is to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the strength you put in us. Give us, oh, God, wisdom. Oh, God, knowledge, understanding of your ways, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we cast down vain imagination, those things that get in our way from coming closer to you. I rebuke a spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, we will not fear, oh, God, but we will continually call upon your name. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a great day to serve the Lord, to praise the Lord. He's ordered our steps. Our steps in his word. And you know, the Bible tells us that God promised us health. He promised us health. But you know, we can tear the health down by what we seek. We got to seek life over our health. I don't care what hurts, what's bothering us. We got to say all is well. Exodus 15:26 said, if thou would diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Did you hear it? If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do which is what is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. He said he will put none of these diseases upon us, which have been brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Deuteronomy 7:15 says, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of these evil diseases of the Egyptians, which thou knowest, upon thee. But he will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Isn't he awesome? Proverbs 4:22, a life to those that find them. Are you searching for your scriptures on healing? For they are life to those that find them. That means that we got to search the word, and health to all their flesh. So we got to diligently search the word and find the words that give us life and healing. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of all thy wounds, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. So we got to diligently seek for the scriptures, read them every day, pray over the scriptures, pray healing for our bodies. We were born in the flesh, but we have risen. We walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And we are above and not beneath. We are healed by his stripes. He says, death and life on the power of our tongue. And he said, those that speak it, you know, it depends on what you're speaking. If you're speaking death, you're going to get more death. If you're speaking life, you're going to get more life. I don't know about you, but every time I speak something death, I'm like, I cancel that in the name of Jesus. So I wrote myself a note to think before I speak, to think about the words that's going to come out of my mouth before I speak them. I don't want to speak death over my life. I want to speak life. So I recommend that you speak life. The word of God says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Praise is suitable, beautiful, comely for the upright. So we're going to sing the word, Psalm 33:3. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. So let's sing songs of shouts and joy unto the Lord today. I'm going to begin to unmute the line, so if you got something going on in the background, if you could shut it down, I would appreciate it. We have Sister Glory Dean on with us from Marrero, Louisiana. She's going to play a song of praise unto the Lord of thanksgiving. We thank God for her. So, good afternoon, Sister Glory Dean. We thank God for you. What are you going to play today and sing?
Praise God. Hey, good afternoon, and good afternoon to everybody that's on the line today. To the song, You Won't Leave Here Like You Came, in Jesus' name. We thank God that we're here today is what we need today, and we thank God we don't be here like we came. As we come, we're going to receive. So I just thank this little song that'll help.
Don't leave you like you came, Jesus' name. Bound of breath, so many people lay. Oh, the spirit of the Lord is here to say, you won't leave it like you came to stay. I won't leave it like I came to stay. The spirit of the Lord is here to say, you won't leave here like you can, Jesus' name. You won't leave your arena. Let's say we. You won't leave it like we can do the same. Bible breath, puppet, kick or land. For the spirit of the Lord in his way. You won't leave it like we can.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful. We want to leave you came in Jesus' name. So we thank God
Hallelujah.
For Jesus. Down here that we can have a right to the tree of life. We can have eternal life with the Father. And Jesus is sitting on God's right hand in the city for us. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. Beautiful song. Sister Gloria Dean, we appreciate you. We have Sister Lanny on with us from Jackson, Mississippi. Lanny McBride, we thank God for her. Good afternoon, Sister Lanny.
Good afternoon, Sister G and my sisters and brothers in Christ. Amen. Praise God. This is a hymn that's been on my heart. Been listening to it several days in a row.
Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely, oh God, and long for heaven and home? Why? Because I've got Jesus, and he is my portion. Thank you, God. A constant friend is he. Oh, his eyes is on the shadow. How I love you, God. How I praise you now, God. Because I know he was there. He watches me. Oh God, let not your heart be troubled. These tender words I hear and resting on his goodness and his promises, yeah. I lose all doubt. I lose all doubt and fear. Oh, thank you, God, because I've got Jesus. Because Jesus has got me. Because I've got Jesus, and he is my portion. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. My constant friend is he. Oh, God's got it on. I know.
Because we got Jesus, who is our portion and a constant friend. And, you know, we can be friends with each other, but it's not always constant. Not that kind of constant that we need. Jesus is who we need. He's our portion every day. He ain't sometimes. He's there all the time, 24/7, whenever you need him. You got a 911 emergency call. Jesus! He can help us in time of need. So I thank God for each of you all today coming on Wednesday midweek Bible study. You know, God is, you know, awesome. So I can't find enough words that I'm going to ask Sister Marion if she would pray a prayer of thanksgiving and thank God that we are healed by stripes. How you doing, Sister Marion?
I'm doing fine, Sister G.
All right. If you pray a prayer of thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Heavenly Father, I come before you right now, Lord God, on no strength of my own right now, Lord God. I come to thank you, Lord Jesus, to praise you, Lord God, to lift you up right now, Lord God, because you're worthy of all the praise. I know, Lord God, we don't deserve the goodness of your grace and your mercy and your favor, but you saw fit to apply it to us right now, Lord God. Lord, I just want to thank you. Thank you for the good, Lord God, and thank you to the bad, Lord God. Thank you for the ups and thank you for the downs right now, Lord God, because my help coming from the Lord. I've stretched my hand to thee, Lord God, and thank you, Lord God, because you didn't have to wake me up this morning, Lord God. You could have kept my eyes closed. You didn't have to give me breath in my body, Lord God. You didn't have to let the blood run warm through my bones, Lord God. But, Father, I thank you right now, Lord Jesus. I thank you right now, Lord Jesus. I have so much to thank you for, Lord God, so much to praise you for, Lord God. And no matter what it looks like, Lord God, I know you're able to do all but fail right now, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now, Lord God. You just bless everybody that's on this line right now, Lord God. Bless our families right now, Lord God. I thank you for all of the participants right now, Lord God. Just bless us and keep us. I thank you right now, Lord God. I thank you right now, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you right now, Lord God. I can't praise you and thank you enough. I give you in spite of praise right now, Lord God. I thank you right now, Lord God, in spite of what I might be going through. I thank you, Lord God. I give you in spite of praise. No matter how my body is rocking with pain, Lord God, I still thank you, Heavenly Father. I still worship you, Lord God. And I praise you. In your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. And hallelujah. Oh, my God. Awesome, powerful prayer. Thank you, Lord, for you today. Well, we are so blessed today. We have one of our family members on today. On Wednesday midweek Bible study. She is a holistic coach, and she knows a lot about health, nutrition. She has studied, and she knows the word as well. So you know her, Sister Mary Nichols, and she lives in Oklahoma. We thank God for her. Good afternoon, Sister Mary. How are you today? Can't hear you. Maybe I'm mute.
I am here, but I put my phone on mute. I have to go back in and get back into my phone. So that's why there's this delay. I am so happy to be here. And I say that because I know the Lord could have taken me anytime. And so I am happy to be here and to be with you all. Can I say a quick prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We praise you. We're so grateful that you would look upon us and you would save us and you would teach us. Thank you, Lord. And I'm asking that what I talk about today will be your words, your heart, your love. And to talk about things that you have provided, the food that you have provided us through the years and have blessed us. So, Lord, I want to talk about what you have provided, because all that you have provided is good. And Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Amen. So, thank you, Sister G, again for allowing me to rattle on at times about health, about things that are important to our daily life. And there's probably not too many things that are more important to think about than what we eat, how we eat it, and what it does in our bodies, what it does to us. So I've entitled my little talk here about sugar is everywhere. And I've spoken in the last few months about the dangers of eating wheat, oats, rye, and barley, because these things cause inflammation in our body, injury to the intestine. It changes our immune system for the worse when we eat those things. I even last time talked about a good food, bad food list, trying to dissuade you and me from eating a list of things. But this week, I need to steer you away from something that we all want and love, and that is sugar. We have developed a habit, and when I say habit, I'm talking about the sugar-coated monkey on our back. That's sugar. It's like a drug. It's addictive. And this talk could be really short and sweet about sugar by just telling you, okay, sugar is so good to us and all of the wonderful sweet things that we can make and eat and share with. That's sugar, though. Even though it's good to us, it is not good for us. And I think most of us have heard at some point or another that sugar's not good for us. But we like what we like, and we have been acculturated, I guess the word is, to the use of sugar in absolutely everything that we eat. Now, I thank the Lord for the sweet thing that he has provided, fruit and vegetables that have glucose or that helps our blood sugar level so that we don't just walk along and faint. But those things, the fruit and the vegetables, are what the Lord has provided, as well as meats and all. But we have, as an American, come to a point, and people around the world, that sugar has become a main thing that we have a crush on. And I could make this talk really short by just saying, you know, the sugars taste good, but it's not good for. We in America eat an average of 152 pounds of sugar a year. Now, as you are eating food, especially the processed foods, things that come in boxes and cans and frozen at times, those things, if it's not the sugar that the Lord put in it naturally, and it is sugar that has been taken from someplace else, some other food, some other chemical, and it's put into natural fruit and vegetables and dishes, then that's added sugar that really is playing havoc with our body. But can you imagine how you, as an individual, manage to eat an average of 152 pounds of sugar in a year? Some people eat more, and some people eat less. Earlier in our American history, we might only be able to get 5 pounds of sugar in an entire year. But now we eat almost 152 pounds of sugar, and that's every man, woman, and I'm not sure how much sugar children eat that we give them and allow them to eat. And if we were just had only 5 pounds of sugar a year, then I wonder, what would we be? How would we act? How would we feel if we were given this 5 pounds of sugar a year and we couldn't get any more in that entire year? I just think that we'd be a country full of angry, cranky people in sugar withdrawal crisis, because we have come to depend on the way things taste and the way we want them to taste. So we average to eat 3 pounds of sugar a week, and that has grown, the number has grown exponentially in the last few years. And so I wanted to just say a little bit about why we are on such a sugar high quest. And it's not nice for me probably to be using drug problems as an analogy for our use of sugar. But what scientists have found is that sugar actually excites the same part of our brain that cocaine and heroin lights up in an MRI. So when I talk about eating sugar as a drug, it excites the same place in our brain that the heavy drug does. So the more we eat of sugar, the more we want. We expect it to taste a certain way, and we want it to be that way all of the time. And I did want to say that sugar has become an addiction, and we now have so many ways and so many products to get our sugar high. We teach our children, if you do well, I'll give you a trip to the ice cream parlor. Or if you're quiet, I'll give you a piece of candy. So we're bribing them. But more importantly, we're teaching them to eat sugar. And as I said, there are many ways that the sugar is presented to us. And I have a prayer call on Sunday night, started with educators, and we do pray for educators, teachers, and principals, school system. I was served on the Oklahoma State Board of Education, and I was leaving Tulsa at about 6:30 one morning in order to get to the meeting here in Oklahoma City by 8:30. And as I sat at a convenience store in the parking lot, at 6:30 in the morning, I saw a bunch of kids who walked into that convenience store, and when they came out, they had soda pop, they had donuts, they had chips and candy, and that was their breakfast. So when Sunday night on our call, we had a teacher who was crying out to the Lord because she had three children in her class that were so out of control, and they caused such chaos in the classroom that not only could she teach her class what they so desperately needed, since we have been out of school for 2 years, actually, and there's been that educational loss, but the kids were so out of control, destroying things in the classroom and keeping other kids from learning. And then my thought was, as we prayed, what did those kids have for breakfast if they had breakfast at home? And how much sugar do they eat during the day? So sugar, is it now a trick or is it a treat? About 200,000
more than 200,000 African slaves or African people who were brought to Barbados and some other nations in our hemisphere. They were brought, kidnapped, and brought to Barbados, especially to raise sugar cane. And that was really one of the reasons that the slave population and all was brought to the America in order to raise sugar crops. So that was something that was not good, but it was all about sugar. So Isaiah 5:20-21, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So we are currently in a battle, and that battle is with things that the Lord has created to be good, but it has been replaced in our lives by you know who. And so it really is necessary for us to think about what we put into our mouths and our lives and into our thoughts before we take it in. Proverbs 25:16 says, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for you, lest thy be filled therewith and vomit it. So as far as sugar and sweet things, it could be too much of a good thing. We also must be reminded that we need to respect our bodies and treat them well. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Remember, we have been bought with a price, but some are buying too much of the sugar, and we are, and we do become what we eat. Philippians 3:18-19. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. So I want to just think a little bit about sugar and as to whether that sugar for us is a trick or a treat. A doctor that I follow, Joel Wallace, has been giving 300 lectures a year on health all around the world. He talks about the controversy in the medical community, with one group saying that heart disease was a consequence of eating too much fat. That earlier in our
history was things like the butter and the lard, and other animal fats. But then there was another opposing faction in the medical community that was saying, no, heart disease is caused by sugar. And there is a name that you may come across someday. Ansel Keys, who was a scientist, but he brought forth the idea that cholesterol and fat were the causes of heart disease. And even eggs were supposed to be avoided because they have cholesterol in them. The Heart Association at that time was convinced by Ansel Keys, and that it had to have been fat that was causing all the heart issues. And this is still a part of our understanding about food. John Yudkin, a British nutritionist who experimented by trying to make rats fat by feeding them fat. He, in his research, could not make the rat fat by eating the fat. And it's a very strange experiment. But in his book, Yudkin had written that definitely, with all of the research, that it is sugar that causes many of our inflammation issues and heart issues, and we know that diabetes is affected by the sugar that we eat. This controversy lasted over 20 years, but because Keith had partnered with the Heart Association and the society, medical society, picked up on that heart disease was caused by eating fat, and obesity was caused by eating fat. That has been the information that we have heard and have basically lived on for many years. But it seems that Ansel Keys and all of these people who were beating the heart, is caught, the heart issues are caused by fat and cholesterol. They were beating that drum. They drowned out the information about sugar being the cause of many of our problems. And it also, Ansel Keys had a great influence on telling people to get rid of the butter and the lard in their lives. He encouraged the development of Crisco and other alternative fat sources. And it turns out that Crisco, the oil was actually used as submarine oil. So I'm just saying that this sugar craze and the increase of diabetics and all of this is the trick to the treat that sugar is supposed to be. Uh,
I think during the 70s, Japanese scientists discovered that they could turn the glucose molecule in corn into a product called fructose. And if you look and read the label, you'll very often see fructose as a part of the ingredient for many, many, many products that we eat. Read your label and look for high fructose corn syrup in things. It's everything because it's cheap to make, and it is, I think it's 10 times sweeter to the taste than regular table sugar. So they put fructose, high fructose corn syrup and things into almost every food that we have. Canned products, ice cream, bread, ketchup, mustard, everything, including salt. I was reading labels of salt and expecting to have pure salt. And what's in there? Sugar. So we really have to be careful. Michael Moss is the author of a book called Salt, Sugar, Fat. And that for the food industry, Moss says that fat, sugar, and salt are the holy trinity. But sugar is the best of all of those because it's a preservative and it actually tampers with the appetite control in our mind that tell us we've had enough, and that Moss says that we're now recognizing the showing of signs of addictive quality that even rival the harder drugs. And there was an experiment where they said they hooked rats on the harder drugs, cocaine and heroin. And they did that for 3 days, the rats on drugs. Then on the third or fourth day, they started feeding the rat sugar water. And after 2 or 3 days on this sugar water, they put out the cocaine and the heroin and the sugar water. And guess what? The rat preferred the sugar water even to the cocaine and the heroin that they had been scientifically hooked on. So I'd like to encourage you, if you have a question about whether or not you are hooked on sugar, try not eating any sugar at all for 24 hours and see how you feel. We're even asked to write down when you do eat a meal or some product that might have sugar in them, see how you feel. Do you get brain fog after a certain time? As you start to digest the sugar and it gives you a good high, you feel good when you eat sugary things, and then you hit the bottom, you get that crash in your energy and your clarity of thinking after you have eaten the sugar. So try to experiment with yourself. No sugar at all for 24 hours. And I'm not advocating that you just stop all sugar cold turkey. And there's another one of those drug analogies. But we need to really think about what we are putting into our bodies. The food industry has all kinds of different ways of saying that they have three or four different kinds of sugar in a product. And you might see evaporated cane juice or raw and organic cane sugar or fruit juice concentrate, apple juice concentrate, grape sugar, invert sugar, beet sugar, caster sugar, or crystalline fructose, even blackstrap molasses, listed in the ingredients of products. And there are even more kinds of words that mean sugar. You might look them up when you run across something that you're not sure whether it's sugar or if it's something else or if it could be a chemical. But look those words up before you decide that you want to eat it. Damon Gimmel, an Australian, went on a 60-day experiment to eat 40 teaspoons of sugar every day. And eventually this amounted to about 2,400 heaping teaspoons of sugar. And at the end of that 60-day experiment, eating all of that sugar, he found that he had gained 18 pounds, and it was all around his waist. So like the eating the gluten that I've been harping on for so long, that eating the sugar also developed that, what they call a beer belly or brown fat. But he developed in 60 days 18 pounds around his waist. He also, his immune system was threatened and the protection decreased. Fat in his liver and the surrounding organs, so he developed that fatty liver disease that increased. He stored more fat because as we eat the sugar, it affects our cells, and the cells actually store more of the fat, and not the like the butter and the lard. It stores the fat. And there is a change in behavior that he experienced. He lost control. There were times when he actually dreamed about eating sugar or sugary things. He couldn't stop eating it. And his insulin levels, of course, were off the chain, and we think about diabetes, that it is not the sugar that is causing the diabetes, but the sugar does increase the insulin in our blood, And it is the insulin that is extra insulin that is causing the problems of with eyesight or gaining weight and all these things. So Damon Gamow also began heart issues. His triglycerides were off the chart, and he was afraid, and rightly so, not to continue the experiment more than 60 days because all of these changes occurred just while he was eating 40 teaspoons of sugar every day. I'm glad he did it and not me. But we do get ingest a lot of sugar that we don't realize because, as I say, it's everywhere. Why is it addictive? And scientists, the food industry, know that if we get a little bit of sugar, then, especially with the fructose that is being used, you get a little bit of sugar, and that creates a craving. And you eat more sugar to take care of the craving, and it causes a desire for more. It says sugar activates the same spot of the brain that in the rat experiment when they were given the cocaine and heroin. They reacted to the sugar water exactly as they had with the drug. And after 2 days of sugar water, they stopped craving the cocaine and heroin and wanted sugar instead of the drug. So it is addicting. The more sugar we eat, the more we want. And that's what the food industry is counting on. I did want to just read this. In case you are considering lessening the sugar in your life or eliminating as much of it as you can, remember that the sugar itself is creating the craving. So when you have that craving for sugar, know that it is the sugar itself that's creating the craving, and that this is something, the craving is temporary. And if you can replace that desire in your mouth to eat something that will take away the craving, there are lots of things that you can eat, including a bite of dill pickle to replace it. And what it's saying, it is a pica problem where there's an irrational craving for something. Some people like to chew ice and all kinds of ways of taking care of the craving. But it's actually a lack of minerals. And we have something called plant-derived minerals. And they said if you're having a craving for something sweet, take an ounce of the mineral, and that will turn that craving around, and you can continue in progress to lessen the sugar in your life. Might consider writing a list of the positive things that you get from not eating sugar. And then you can just read your list every time that you start to have a desire for sugar. And write out all of those things that we're learning that sugar in our body cause fatty liver disease, the type 2 diabetes problems that we have, obesity, heart disease, gout, hypertension, Alzheimer's, mood swings, learning difficulties, dry skin, less brightness in the eyes, puffiness, gut bacteria problems. And when we eat sugar, these are the things that we are encouraging to happen to our body. And remind yourself that sugar isn't a reward at all. And we know that the Lord has allowed the sweetness of fruit and some vegetables in our lives, but we need to look toward the sweet relationship with the Lord to take the place of the craving for table sugar, sugar in pop, cake. And I love all of those things, but I will say that I will send to you a couple of recipes on some things without sugar. I will have to change the recipes because they use oil in this one and also regular wheat flour. So we can just substitute those two ingredients and use stevia for sweet things that you want, like in your tea or even in baking. And just be careful, even the artificial sweeteners that we try to replace with, replace the sugar. Careful about those artificial sweeteners because, yes, they're sweet to the taste, but they are chemical as opposed to even table sugar, real sugar that has come from those wonderful fruits and vegetables. So I'll stop with that. And if you have some questions, it could be simple to hear but hard to do, changing over to our God-given fruit, vegetable as our source of the glucose that helps fuel our cells. If we can switch over and gradually eliminate the sugar from our life, that it would be better for us. We will live longer without all of the complications of sugar-induced illnesses, and that we would be able to serve the Lord in health rather than sickness. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Sister Mary. That was a wealth of information. I appreciate it. So we're going to start with questions. I'm going to ask you, I unmuted all the lines, and if you would state your name and your question, if you could do it very concise, short, make it straight to the point. You know how we do it, so that other people can ask a question also. Like, I'm going to ask question number one. My name is Sister G. What is Candida albicans, Sister Mary?
Hold on a sec. And yes, that's one of those things that feeds on sugar, feeds on fructose. It's actually a little parasite living in the gut that loves to feed off sugar. It's a type of yeast, and when out of control, can lead to fungal infections in the body.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right. So you're going to state your name and ask a question, and then she's going to be brief in answering it so everybody can ask. Okay, we're ready. First person, state your name, question.
My name is Vivian Collins, yeah. And I would like to know, I missed what she was saying about the intestines when she first started.
Oh, well, now, that's back to remembering that gluten in your body will destroy the villi in your intestines so that you cannot absorb the nutrients from the foods that you eat. It will even prevent you, if you're taking different kinds of medical treatments and medicine, you won't even be able to absorb the medicine for it to do what it's supposed to do. It destroys the villi in your intestines and prevents your body also from creating your immune system and keeping that strong. So that's what I was saying about the intestine.
All right, thank you, Sister Mary. I think you were next. Thank you, Sister Mary. Thank you, Vivian. Okay. Sister Mary, was that you asking a question?
No, that wasn't me,
I'm sorry. Wait, that you, Sister Mary. Who was it that was after Vivian? You all were speaking about the same time. State your name.
Cindy Beyonce.
Cindy?
Yes. Can you hear me?
All right. Beyonce, yes. And your question?
I just wanted to ask Mary about honey because I know it's not like regular sugar, so I just wanted to ask her thoughts on honey.
Thank you. And there are so many scriptures that talk about honey as the thing to use for sweetness. And one of the honey, yes, it provides sweetness, but it also retains a lot of the vitamins and minerals, the good things out of our food. But that scripture that I read earlier, it was about even eating too much honey will make you because it, I don't know why, but honey, it is sugar in a way, but it does have some advantage on the table sugar, and just avoid fructose because it's not real.
All right. Thank you, Sister Mary. Beyonce, was that it? Any more questions, Cindy?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Next, Sister Marion. You had a question?
Yes. I wanted to know if she can offhand give me some things that cause inflammation in our body. Some things that we eat that cause inflammation.
Well, the sugar,
the gluten, the wheat, oats, rye, and barley, they all cause inflammation.
Okay, are there any like meats that cause inflammation when you eat certain meat products? Could it cause inflammation?
Offhand, I couldn't give you a list. What are you eating that you think might cause inflammation?
Well, I mean, you hear some people say certain things, don't eat certain things because that cause inflammation in your body. But I don't know what those foods are. That's what I was trying to mm-hmm. Do you know offhand what foods can cause inflammation in your body?
Okay, she said wheat, products with oats, products with rye, and products with barley.
Right, yes. I have all of those.
You heard about meat.
I don't know of a meat that would cause inflammation, but the way you cook it is what would cause inflammation. For instance, all of the oil in a bottle, that would be the source of inflammation if you are frying your meat any oil, that is what causes inflammation. That's in addition to the wheat, oats, rye, and barley.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Sister Nichols. Okay.
All right. Next person, state your name and question.
This is Renita Johnson.
Hi.
Say it again.
Renita Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
My question is about what she said about molasses. Whether it was good or bad, I have unsulfurated molasses, but I don't really use it. I forgot what I bought it for now.
Yeah, well, we have been taught, especially in holistic health coaching, that molasses, because of the vitamins and nutrients in it, that's not a bad thing. And I did read in the sugar book that the blackstrap molasses was a sugar. And yes, it is made from sugar cane. But it does have vitamins and minerals in it as opposed to table sugar, which has been stripped of any of the nutrients that might have been in the sugar or in the sugar cane. And I know with the blackstrap molasses, they cook it in order to get it to be molasses. So it's supposed to retain some of the nutrients. That's the only reason that you'd want to continue to use the molasses. It's sweet.
Thank you.
All right. Next person, state your name, please. Make it brief.
This is Sister Lady. Thank you for your help today. I was wondering about talk a little bit about butter as opposed to oil. I know you said that oil is not good. And then I remember another report saying, not yours, but someone else, margarine was not good, use butter. So now we can't use butter. Can we use butter? I mean, what's the stipulation on that?
Yes. And it does take kind of a whole new switch around to use butter. But butter from the old days, that is the best. It just, you know how to make butter. But what has happened is that Ansel Keys and the Heart Association and all of these other people, they have gotten on this bandwagon. And it's been that way now, I think, for the last 30 or 40 years, saying that, oh, no, don't eat natural butter or even lard. You can go to the store and get lard. Well, and the butter that has been reduced, that they were saying that those are bad for us. But that was Ansel Keys who was selling Crisco to replace all of the natural that we want in our food. And eating the fat off of the meat that we cook, so long as that fat is not burned. Do not eat burned fat off of meat, because that is a source of inflammation, and they have found that people who eat the burned meat will very likely have issues with cancer. You didn't ask for that.
Oh, butter.
All right,
Eat butter. Eat lots of butter.
Carcinogenous cells in it, which is the main thing in cancer.
Wow.
So those are cancerous type things. That's what she's saying. I don't know if you understood it.
No, because she's like...
And her voice is hoarse like mine. Her voice is hoarse like mine.
Yeah.
You're right. She sounds like an old lady.
Yeah.
And I think she is.
Oh, good.
I'm old as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, to all older ladies, thank you so much. Next question. State your name and ask your question, please.
Oh, I hope they didn't hear us.
Next question.
Oh, that's you.
Hello?
Would you repeat that?
All right.
I couldn't hear you.
No, that's all right. I thank you, you for coming on today.
I have one more.
Now. Name, please.
I'm sorry. This is Cindy Beyonce again, and I just wanted to thank Mary because she has been a blessing to me, and that's what I just wanted to tell her. Thank you so much. This has been a blessing.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sister. All right. We're going to move into prayer time. It's prayer time right now. I thank God for each of you all coming on today. We're on every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We have a Bible study. We've been studying the book of Proverbs. You guys are welcome to join us. 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 12 o'clock Central. I apologize.
Yeah.
Central Standard Time. All right. So here's what we're going to do. Is there anyone on here who has a pressing need for prayer? State your name. We're going to let our guests go first. Any of the new people on here today, you have a pressing need for prayer, state your name, and we'll pray for you.
Cindy Beyonce.
All right, Sister Cindy. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Cindy Beyonce, your daughter, this mighty, mighty woman of God who knows your name. But, Lord, you created her. You said, Cindy, I knew you before I formed and shaped you in your mother's belly. And everything that you are concerned about today concerns me. Do not try to carry your heavy loads, burdens that you've been carrying, Cindy, because I am the one who can carry the burdens of the whole world. So leave your burdens at my feet and forget about them. All you do is bring them to me and leave them. Do not bring them, pick them back up. Do not bring them, pick them back up. But leave your burdens to me, and I will handle them. Everything that concerns you concerns me. I know everything that you're going through. I'm aware of it. So don't you think that I'm not with you. I am with you. I will be with you even until the ends of the earth. So, Cindy, everything that, every part of your body that needs a healing, I'm the one you call on. It's not the doctor. Oh, no, I'm the great physician, Jehovah Rapha. Oh, Father, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus for Cindy, any kind of overly medications that she should not be taking. Oh, God, I thank you that she will consult you about them before she continually take them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for everything you're doing on her behalf. Bless her family. In the name of Jesus, draw the whole family closer to you than ever before. And that thing that nags her, even when she sleeps, just nagging at her. We cut you off at the root in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We cover Cindy, Beyonce, with the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against her shall prosper. Father, even as she reads Psalm 27, I thank you that she will be set free in the name of Jesus. Amen. Next prayer.
This is Sister Marion.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take guests first. Any guests?
Okay.
Any other guests on your first time on that you need prayer? All right, Sister Marion. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up your daughter, Sister Marion. You know her, Lord God. You even know her location. You know where she lives. You know the route that you're taking her. You said the steps of a good person are ordered by you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are ordering her steps. And, Lord, all pain, all inflammation, we say go in Jesus' name and do not return. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for she heard the information that you spoke through Sister Mary. I thank you that we will all take heed to the information. We will consult you, the great physician, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I thank you that we won't be running back and forth to the medical doctors back and forth, but we will consult you. You said in Genesis 1:27-28, you gave us green earth for our healing. So I thank you that we won't be overly medicated. We'll go get this medicine, and that caused that symptom. Then we'll say, oh, no, I didn't cause that, and we'll go get another medication, and we're sitting before us like a drugstore. We say, oh, did I take this? Did I take that? Oh, my God, I forgot if I took this. Did I take that? I rebuke the spirit of confusion right now. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that we will not be overly medicated, but we will eat the green herbs that you gave us to eat, oh, God, and we will eat the fruit, the good of the land, that like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they ate vegetables. They ate pulse. They ate vegetables during that time that were healing. They ate fruit during that time. So, Father, I thank you that we will take advantage of the fruit, oh, God, good, healthy fruit, that we wouldn't just pick it up and bite it. We will wash it, cleanse it. Oh, God, even if we have to use apple cider vinegar and water, that we will cleanse our food, wash it off, get all the toxins and things out of it, Lord God. And so we bless you, Nani. We thank you for Marion, your daughter, in Jesus' name. And we lift up her children that she's concerned about. And we thank you, Lord God, for taking care of that situation in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else get your name? All right. Well, I thank God for you all coming on today. We're about ready to close out. Father, we lift up the baby that we pray for daily, baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Revere. They shall live and not die. We praise you and thank you, Lord God. Even though they're less than 3 years old, you have given them strength in their body. Healing is their portion, oh God. They are super soldiers, Lord. They've been through a lot. But you, Lord God, are the one. I decree and declare no undertaker will take their body, but they will live long lives. They will rock their great, great grandbabies on their knees and pray and tell them about the great God who healed them when they were babies in Jesus' name. So, Father, we lift up the situation in New Orleans where someone texted me and said that there was a tornado watch. So, Father, we can speak to the winds and the rains. You gave us the authority. So we say, peace be still, unless you send it, Lord God. We say, peace be still to the tornado that is maybe approaching. We say, you are the refuge, O God, of the people in New Orleans. We pray protection. And, Lord, we ask forgiveness because they just had a demonic celebration of Mardi Gras. We rebuke that spirit of Mardi Gras going throughout the land, Father. Abomination, we ask for forgiveness from abomination in the name of Jesus. Every false God, in the name of Jesus, that they celebrated, forgive, Lord God, through ignorance or just because they want to, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we rebuke that fierce tempest, and we command the great storm to be calm in the name of Jesus. We break the power of this tornado. You are the protector from storms. And we pray mercy upon that area in Jesus' name or any other area. We lift up the area, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, where Russia and Ukraine are at war. And so we rebuke the that spirit of Goliath, where they're trying to overtake that country. Right now, every Goliath spirit that's trying to overtake, overrule Ukraine, we call you off, null and void. We cancel your assignment. We decree and declare the baby all the way through the elderly shall live. Hide them under the shadow of your almighty wings. In Jesus' name, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Lord, as they go from place to place, oh God, let not the enemy exact upon them. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for moving in that area by your Holy Spirit, keeping the people safe, protected, provide food, shelter from these evil, demonic people that are trying to take their land, trying to rule over them, trying to put them under their authority. In the name of Jesus, thank you for being their refuge, their fortress. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, I love you all. Look forward to talking to you all very soon.
We love you too, Miss Amen.
Love you, Sister Lynn. Anybody have anything they want to say before we close out? All right, love y'all. All right.
Hey.
You guys
have bye-bye.
Sister G, I would like to send them a recipe for brownies that will not have flour, the wheat, or the sugar. It uses black beans and stevia to make brownies. And they'll cut out the wheat, oats, rye, and barley, and the sugar. So just text me at 918-378-9271, and I will happily send them the recipe.
Thank you
918.
Mary.
Yes, I'll text it to you.
918-378-9271 per number. 918-378-9271. Thank you, Sister Mary. Anybody else? Quickly. All right. Love y'all. Have a great day. God bless your day. God bless your week.
Thank you.
Love you. It's been amazing. Let's see everyone.